All right, I think we do have our guests on the line. Inshallah, do we have our guests on the line? Thumbs up from our engineer. And yes, inshallah, we're crossing over to Dr. Sami Ngawi. Like we said earlier, Saudi architect with dreams of the Awal Makam Mukarrama. Dr. Sami Ngawi, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah, Dr. Saab, talking to you. I really wanted to talk to you. Subhanallah, I read about yourself, and the article was talking about the man who dreams of the old Makkah Mukarrama. Dr. Sami, tell us a little about yourself. We understand your home growing up was located in Shabi Ali, the neighborhood said to have been the home of our beloved Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Chi, Dr. Sami.
Question is not clear, though, please. What was in the Shab Ali? I got this one, but the line is not very clear now.
All right. Can you hear me now? Can you tell us a little about yourself, firstly?
Yes, I'm a American, originally from grandfather to grandfather, way up to Sayyidina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And, of course, our line goes through the Prophet to Sayyidina Ibrahim. Alhamdulillah. So our job is to save the pilgrim since the time of Abraham and Ishmael. Ishmael was then the descendant who was taking care of the pilgrims until Quraysh time came, and then after that it was more established and more formalized and so on, and it elaborated until it became what's so called the Mutawwis, the pilgrim servant or pilgrim leaders. But this is my inherited job. My kind of trained profession is I'm an architect. I studied architecture. And got my bachelor, master, doctorate in Moroccan architecture. And I came back 1973, 1972. Established what was called the Hajj Research Center.
Okay.
And from zero point, so I was the founder. And then I continued from one person to five person to 15 to 150 people. Full time working on the Hajj, researching, studying all the different professions. Full time working to find solutions for the problems that started to happen because of the changes in the technology and the number of pilgrims. So we tried to find the balance between what would be the history and what would be the constant that being inherited, and what are the changes, so we don't lose the history and we don't lose our culture and we don't lose the Hajj itself.
Definitely.
In the middle of changes.
Dr. Sami, like many people, you yearn for the old Makkah Mukarrama, subhanAllah, the old structure. Is all the modern architecture, you know, removing the historic look and the, you know, the lovely feeling of the old Makkah Mukarrama?
Well, it's not only, if you want to talk about this, we should go back a little bit. What is Makkah? We should ask ourselves, what is Mecca and what is Medina? It is Haram. It's a sanctuary. In the modern sense, or the contemporary, what they call natural reserved area, natural parks, protected areas, you know, and this was Mecca, the oldest protected area established by Abraham. Medina was the sanctuary that established by Muhammad. And there are rules that to this sanctuary that you cannot cut the thorn tree. Even the thorn tree you cannot cut. You cannot hunt or chase the hunt out. And you cannot kill. And you cannot. So it's a place, a sanctuary. Really, if you go deep in the old sanctuary, anybody who wants to dig, what is it? It's a sanctuary. So how to plan a sanctuary? How to design for a sanctuary. And this is what we need to start from, the point. What is the sanctuary for? It's a sanctuary for the Kaaba, the house symbolically of God.
Mm.
That means It is the most important thing. So it's all the way through the history, even in before Islam, the Kaaba scale and the Kaaba size was well respected. Never anything that is bigger in the perspective view. And so that was the main thing of the sanctuary, to protect the house of God. And then of course the place developed, and through the valley and through the between the mountains, and it became the mother of villages, Umm al-Qura, the mother of villages. That means it is not only, it's not a city, and no way it is a city, and that's the problem. It's a whole different, there's many ways and books how to plan a city, but there's no books how to plan a sanctuary, how to design for a sanctuary. And this is what we try to do with the Hajj Research Center, is to see, the Hajj Research Center is to really find that balance between how to keep the continuity of the constant, what you have to agree on, what is the constant. It's a sanctuary, that's absolutely constant. It is a Kaaba, which is supposed to be the most important thing. And so on. Then we say, oh, now there is more number of pilgrims, there is more technology, there is cars, how we deal with this, how we deal with that. But in a way to find that right balance.
Mm.
This is the whole issue.
I think you explained it.
How it looks like, yes, it should look like Mecca. It shouldn't look like Manhattan.
Mm.
Or Manhattan. It should be like Mecca.
Definitely.
And Mecca has, through the time, has developed a particular book, which is then to develop through the time, and it's composed of a composition of, like I call Mecca, the collective thought of the Muslim world. So it has a little bit of every place, and that's the character of Mecca. It's a sanctuary that has reflects always the Muslim world in all its aspects, from the food, from the clothes, from even the singing, the music, the architecture, everything. But on top of all of that, it was always kept and preserved the natural environment, and also the Sira locations and sites where the Prophet born and where the Prophet stayed and where the Prophet walked. The same thing with Medina. Up until 50, 70 years ago, the changes started to overtake the whole place, to change from a number of villages to a town, to a city, which is, in my opinion, wrong.
Okay. SubhanAllah, I think very important, like you're saying, that it's not really a city. We have to understand Mecca to be the Haram, it's a sanctuary, the house of Almighty Allah, it's the refuge of humans and the birthplace of Islam. We have to understand it that way or other. Also, my brother Dr. Sami, in the year 2006, you had a chance, we believe, to allocate and excavate the house of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, the first wife of our beloved Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell us, my brother, what did you find?
Well, that I didn't know how to describe it by audio, but there is I found layers, one layer which was the latest layer, which is the Turkish time or the Ottoman time. Then I got more and more until I reached the Abbasi time. Then I went a little bit more, and it is and much older. It is at least the 1,400 years building. Then by referring to the old books and the old maps, and most important, the people, the older people who knew and inherited from one generation to another, that this is the location. So when I did the digging in a very rushed way, because there is no time, I found that this place is ancient, and through the evidence of the historical books and the evidence of the people, knowing that this was what their father had told them, and what their grandfather told them, and from one generation to the other. Then also the architectural and the floor. I found one floor definitely is on Abbasi feet. So it's not something that's only 100 or 200 years old. That at least definitely goes to 1,400 years old place.
Okay.
But that could be explained much further if I have plans and make pictures everything is done in a professional way.
All right. My brother, also we read that you say that the Makkah clock tower is stupid, even though it was designed and built by your friend. Why do you feel this way?
Which one again, please?
I say that we've also heard that you say that the Makkah clock tower is just not right, it's stupid. Even though it was designed by a friend of yours, it was built by your friend. Why do you feel this way?
Even if it was built by my father, something which is stupid is stupid. Because it didn't take, what is it stupid? Stupid that doesn't take in consideration the most important thing, which is the Kaaba. The relation to the Kaaba. If it was done like maybe 500, maybe or 800 meters away, it may have to be very different. But the way it is formed and the shape and the final look, in comparison with the Kaaba, it is not very intelligent, at least. But it's not his fault, I could say. It's already been decided there is a tower here, and he put the clock, to be fair, and he, so he kind of put the topping on the cake.
All right.
And we of course, you know, when I meet with him, we argue and talk and so on. But the problem is the basic factor that is happening, and it's not taken into consideration what the Prophet has done. Everything is concentrated to be done in the central area around the mosque. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not do that. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stayed 5 kilometers away from the central area and with his companions. And he came to the mosque only 3-4 times. One time when he's coming, one time after he finished the pilgrimage, one time as his way the farewell. So the insistence of being directly, that insistence that this should be in the central area, and it has to be there, that is one of the problems that's causing the big problem. We should use the whole of Mecca out of the center of the area and connect it with public transportation. And then if we have to have building, high buildings, we can put them way back. And they still can see the... So the height should be at the periphery. And as you reach closer to the Kaaba, then it should be restricting and lower. And it should be also another thing, it should restrict the mountains, which is part of the sanctuary. So there is rules that could be applied and not to be broken. But of course somebody could challenge and say, oh, but we need the number of pilgrims increasing. It cannot, if you take only the central area of Mecca and fill it totally with skyscrapers like they have with those ones, it will not take more than 500,000 people. We're talking about 5-7 million.
Yeah.
So there is no way to do it in the central area. So we have to really be intelligent in our planning, intelligent in our architecture and our decision making, and really see the thing in a much bigger perspective, the holistic perspective. We have to take into consideration the safety, the security, and all the other aspects, and also, of course, the prayers. There is so much complexity here that it's not just a matter of making something look like. That's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, if this tower is even done exactly like the old architecture, I wouldn't have liked it. It's not a matter of that it's imitation or, you know, making up my makeup. It's not a makeup.
All right, my brother. Yeah, it's true what you're saying. Dr. Sami, have you been approached for your outspokenness? And does your criticism of the modernizing of Makkah Mukarramah get you in trouble with the authorities?
No, alhamdulillah. I have a very, very good relation, fantastic relation with the authority. And, you know, there is nothing that is... I am outspoken with knowledge, and I'm spoken not just to criticize.
Yeah.
When I'm speaking like this, I know on the other side, and I should say... definitely, and I believe in that the authority of Saudi Arabia, Al Saud, the king himself, the servant of the two holy mosques, is really sincere, and all of them, they want to do the best. But when I speak about the how. How is it done? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
There is fantastic intention,
yeah,
excellent intention, and there's a lot of spending, millions are spent, but then what we should look, how is it done? And the process of reaching the final solution, there's a process. If it's done right, then the result is right. This is my kind of criticism. I'm not in a clash, I'm not in anybody, alhamdulillah. And I feel myself not in a position, I'm a supporter. I like to support, you know, I'm trying to find the best solution. And in this way, that's how I'm interacting. And that's what I don't like about what's happening. Some people like to turn the whole thing into politics, which is wrong.
Okay. Final question, Dr. Sami, regarding the future. We know that the latest is that the authorities have embarked on the fourth expansion of the Masjid al-Haram Sharif, I think the largest ever in the Masjid's history. And they say that it will accommodate, inshallah, for many millions of people at any given instance. The future with the new projects in full motion, is the history of Makkah Mukarramah in danger of being lost completely?
Well, I think I go back again. If we establish what is constant, are the mountains considered to be constant? Are they supposed to be respected or not?
Oh, yes.
Is it a sanctuary or not?
Yeah.
Do we take care of the size of the Kaaba or not?
Mm.
We want to serve the pilgrim with safety and security or not? And then the technology or the modern architecture or whatever contemporary has to follow, has to be balanced. So the key issue is to balance. And that subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ, has established the balance. And established the balance in everything, from the atom to the galaxy. Everything has supposed to have its own balance. Every time should have its own balance. So if we really take all those factors and use the concept of balance and apply it, we have now the technology. We can use that. There's computers and there's software. And we can really build simulation models for the Mecca and Medina and the pilgrims, the road, the street, everything. And then we can test everything on a simulation model. I mean, people use simulation models to reach Mars or to reach the moon. And we can use the simulation modeling, I think, to test everything. And we then see this is the tool that we can use. And then we can see what's happening. Because everything in the Hajj is related to something else. From the smallest part of the Hajj, like, you know, the smallest street capacity is related to the biggest highway. It's all related because it impacts. If you don't watch out, you'll have a problem and you enlarge something and you have a problem somewhere else. It's the idea of the chain. The chain, the strength of the chain is in its weakest link. But the problem with the Hajj, the weakest link is always changing. We never can predict where is it. But if we have a real planning, a good one with simulations, to test everything we're doing and predict and have the alternative plans and action plans and what we do, if this happens, then we do this. If this happens, and all this needs full-time expertise, trained people who will not only plan, will be also taking care of the pilgrims when they come, from the highest person to the street cleaner. They all have to be trained, and they have to be ready. And we have to start the countdown for the next Hajj. As soon as this Hajj finished, then we have a countdown.
Mm.
And every day we should have established something. Until we reach that big day. So it's not happening randomly. We know when it's going to be. So we should be ready for it. That doesn't mean the government is not doing that. But it just needs to be in a very coherent and in a way that everything is interrelated and tested against something else. And this is what I'm saying all the time. We need, from 40 years ago, we need to build modeling, a simulation model, for every aspect of Hajj, Mecca, Medina, and then we can test everything. And the equipment is there. And the money is spent by billions
Yeah.
And this process doesn't take billions. It may be much cheaper than that. So we have to use that scientific way, but taking into consideration that we are talking about a religious event. We're talking about holy sanctuaries, holy feeling, and holy, you know, things that cannot be predicted. We cannot think like we're talking about New York or talking about somewhere else. No, we're talking about a place that's supposed to, in its architecture, in its streets, in its scale, in its, everything we do there has to help the soul to be elevated to the spirituality level. And that is an art in architecture, an art in city planning, which is not known, but we know it. Because I learned how to plan a sanctuary. I'm a hajjiologist. I know what the hajj needs. If I'm given a chance, inshallah, not to become in a position, no, I want to really, as a consultant, to do something. And then if we need, we have many, many specialists now in the country. And if we need somebody from the outside, yes, we can bring the specialists from the outside. But okay, we have to lead.
Inshallah. Dr. Sami, final question, my brother. Some special nasihat, some special advice for our listeners on Radio Islam International here in South Africa. Those, alhamdulillah, frequent ziyarah to the Haramain Sharifain. Some advices to them when they come to the Mubarak cities of Makkah Mukarramah in Medina Munawwara.
Well, to really, they have to put themselves in a place that are entering a sanctuary. And as they get closer to the Kaaba, they should try to feel that wholeness, the spirituality of the place. But if they feel something that is distracting them, politely advise us. Say, by the way, we feel this is not, you know, helping. This is this. We should talk politely, because some people, unfortunately, make the situation worse. Anything that happens, they turn it into political. And that's making a decision. It's not helping. We are told in our religion, if you see something, you should advise. But, you know, they should really try to also help the other students. Not to say, no, I'm a Pakistani, and the other say, no, I'm an Egyptian. This feeling, actually, when you are in Mecca, you have to forget your class level, you have to forget your economical level, you have to forget about your nationality and become part of the total body of the Muslim Ummah. That's the best example there, to have the diversity within Tawheed. So Mecca is the place for Tawheed. And with the diversity of all the people, that should be the best example, like the Bay of Arafat. You know, that's everybody wearing the same clothes, sitting in the same place, and we're reading one book, making one prayer. So that's really the ultimate example of unity and diversity within that unity, which is a reflection as the system and the whole of the civilization. And that's what we need now, the balance between unity and diversity, the balance between modernity and inheritance, the balance between the number of pilgrims and the local residents, and the technology with the traditional areas, and this and nature. And, you know, that's what I mean. It's a multi-aspect, a multi-endless almost dimensions that we need to work on. You cannot say this is it and that's all. No, you have to take everything into consideration, and wallahu a'lam, of course, you cannot be 100%.
SubhanAllah.
But balance is our really salvage in our personal life, and this is the theory I'm working on, and it could be applied into architecture and planning and the Hajj. If we cannot apply it here, where do we apply it?
Okay.
And the whole world needs that example. Now the whole world is going out of balance. But we can make a fantastic example in Mecca and Medina with the intention and the fantastic caring and the amount of money that's spent and the effort that I put. We can make an incredible example to show to the world that, yes, we can.
Okay.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah, my brother. Lovely talking to you. And yes, I was reading about how you moved to Jeddah, how you built your house. I'm going to talk about that, inshallah, in a bit or two. But Jazakallah, lovely talking to you. You're in a Mubarak place, subhanAllah, in Makkah Mukarramah, close to Makkah Mukarramah, where ibadats and good actions are multiplied hundreds of thousands of times. We request you for your du'as, my brother, Dr. Sami. And we talk to you soon again, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah khair. And if somebody needs more information, we have a site,
www.macmad.org.
Yes.
What is the website again, doctor?
www.macmad.org.
All right, alhamdulillah, we got it. Jazakallah, doctor. You take care. Hayakallah. La tinsana fi du'aikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khair. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.